Shia today? That was the early Shia. The topic for today is Psulei Kohuna and Psulei Kohol. We read the Pasuk and Parshas Emor that a Kohen is not permitted to marry a Grusha, a woman who is divorced. There's a Mishnah in the end of Gittin where the Mishnah has a situation. A man divorces his wife. He says, Areat Megureshes Mimeni Vahare Iat Materes Lushum Adam. So what is she Megureshes Mimeni for? That I don't have to support her. But she's not allowed to marry anybody else. So that's meaningless, that the get is, doesn't mean a thing. And he's still mechuyev to support his wife. He didn't get rid of her. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says she's not allowed to marry a kohen. In case the husband is a kohen, he gave his wife such a naughty get, so now he has to give her a real get, because he's not allowed to live with her. And that's what the Mishnah calls a riach get. It smells like a get. It isn't a valid get. It's not a valid get. But it's a reach haget, so it's based on the pasuk Meisha Grusha Meisha. If the woman is divorced from her husband, she's only Afidulon is Garsha Ella Meisha. He was only begarisha that he's not obligated to support, but she's not allowed to marry anybody else. So she's still married to the husband. Nonetheless, Afidulon is Garsha Ella Meisha, that's a reach haget. The Rambam quotes the din, and he says it's only midirabbanan. The Magen Mishnah says, why did the Rambam say it's only midirabbanan? The Mishnah seems to learn it out from the pasuk. Where did the Rambam figure out that that's an asmachta? So the Magen Mishnah thinks that the Rambam is not correct. He thinks that it's a real din deraisa. Shagas Aryeh has a tshuva. All the tshuvas of the Shagas Aryeh, they weren't shaydas at the yest. Where the creation was deraisa, the Rabban. That's a shada that somebody asked the Shagas Aryeh. It's not like shadas of tshuvas of the Igris Moshe. These are real shaydas that people ask. Shagas Aryeh is essays. So he has an essay in the Shagas Aryeh tshuvas hachadoshas. So the question is whether Reach HaGet is deraisa Rabban. He thinks that Magen Mishnah is correct. He thinks that it's a din deraisa. It doesn't make that much of a difference. So Allah HaMai said there's such a din, Reach HaGet. Does the Reach HaGet din apply to any other cases? The only case quoted by the Mishnah is Afid Lo Nizgasha Ela Meisha, the husband gave his wife a get, and he wrote Hare Megureshes Memeni Vahare Iat Ben Teres Lum Shumad. So the Gemara has a machlokes. What if there was a get that was written shalom l'shma? What if it was written a little bit shalom l'shma? What if it was written, let's say he has two wives, and he can't afford two wives, and they both have the same name, and he tells his sofer, write a get for the one of the two wives. I didn't decide which, I have to divorce one of my wives. I can't afford, they're always buying shoes and dresses and pocketbooks. I can't afford two wives. He can barely afford one wife. So he's going to have to divorce one of them. He didn't decide which one. Leizah sheretz agashen. So the Mishnah says that it's no good. So the Gemara has different opinions. Maybe that's a reach haget, because it was a little bit lishma. The Gemara comes to the conclusion, wrong. Whenever there's a lack of lishma, it's not a reach haget at all. So the Shagas Aryeh in his tshuva said, it's only one and only reach haget, that's all. The case that the Mishnah has, areat megureshes meni vahare iat materes lushum adam. There's a Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, where the Ramah quotes a tshuva sarashbo, that whenever the Bezdin required that the woman should have a get, even though it was only a lechumra, Mikra din, they know quite well she doesn't really need a get. But they insisted she should get a get lechumra. So once they required a get, so it's considered a reach haget, and she's not allowed to marry a kohen. That's already a chumra. The Beshmuel is the standard commentary on the side of the page. And Eben Ezra, so the Beshmuel quotes the Bach, that not only is that reach haget that she's not allowed to marry a kohen l'chatchila even b'dieved if she married a kohen, and she only needed to get the chumra even b'dieved im nisus teitze, she has to get divorced. Rabbi Yitzchak Petterburger, Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, was one of the three most outstanding students of Rabbi Saul Salanter. He was a great, from all of the Talmidim of Rabbi Saul Salanter, he was the strongest in learning. He was a great kohen, and his tshuvas are known as Pri Yitzchak. So he has a tshuva where all of his tshuvas are like detective work. He always goes to the source, he always reads all the Rishonim and the way it's quoted and all the other Svarim, and he puts together bits and pieces and he builds a whole case. So he says, if you look in the Shuvas Rashba, it says Faket. And in the Chidush Rashba and the Gemara, it also says Faket. So he thinks that the whole Ramah is based on a mistake, that the Rashba never said it. So he says he's not going to go fight with the Ramah. Ramah says, when a get was given lechumre, you have to treat it as a reach haget. But the Beis Shmuel quoted from the Bach that even b'di'eved, if this is teitze, even if she married a kohen, b'di'eved she has to get divorced. And he said, on his achrayis, he doesn't think that you have to go so far. You have to say, if this is teitze. We have that, it's a very common issue of Bizman Hazeh. A couple were civilly married, and they never were religiously married. Then they got divorced civilly. So there was a rabbi who learned in Slabodka. He had a rabbinical position in London for many years, Rabbi Hirsch Ferber, Zvi Ferber. And he published many svarim, mainly drushes. Drushes on Pirkei Avos and on Chumash and on Moadim. And a lot, very nice drushes on the Siddur, as I'll say, on the Siddur. So he published one volume where he corresponded with all the Batadinim in Europe and in America. How do they deal with a case when a couple had a civil marriage? Did they require a get when the couple gets divorced? So everybody said, L'chatchila, you need a get, but Mikra Adin, it's only a chumer, Mikra Adin, if you can't get a get, so she's allowed to remarry without a get. And the only two who insisted that the get is ma'akev were the Ragachover. He thought that it's a din of Pilegesh, and a Pilegesh needs a get, and Rabbi Henkin from America. These were the only two. In America, they presented it as if it's machlokes between Rabbi Henkin and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Rabbi Henkin said a couple had a civil marriage, you need a get, and Rabbi Moshe said you don't need a get. But it's not a machlokes of Rabbi Moshe and Rabbi Henkin, it's machlokes the whole world. 98% of the Rabbanim said Mikra, then you don't need a get, it's only a chumer. And the Ragachov and Rav Henkin were the ones who said that you do need a get. Rav Henkin learned in Slutsk, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, before he came to America. And he used to correspond with Rabbi Zalman even later. So Rabbi Zalman has an Eben Oslo. He also agrees to Rav Henkin. He thinks Mikra, then you need a get, if a couple was civilly divorced. But it's usually assumed Mikra, then you don't need a get. It's only Lechumer. So that's a case that we have that very common. A case where the Bezin will require a get, but it's only Lechumer. So then not only will we say she's not allowed to marry Kayin, but the Beis Shmuel will say, Ibn this is Teitze. And Rabbi Yitzchak Peterburg, he was the rabbi in St. Petersburg. His name is Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser. His family name was Blaser. Rabbi Yitzchak Blaser will say that Ibn this is Teitze.
Why would anybody assume not like
Rabbi
Henkin? I mean, everyone on the block knows these people have been married for 10 years, and they've been giving each other gifts, and so you have Das Kedushin. You have eight. What's
so all the others say that they think that they're married already. They were married by the justice of the peace. Justice of the peace just marks down on a book that you decided to get married. You can't get married just by an oral declaration that you're married. Justice of the peace doesn't require that you should give her a ring and say, I want to marry you.
But they do. They always do.
Give a ring, but it's not given l'shem kiddushin. It's given a marriage band. All the goyim have a marriage band, but they think they're married because the justice of the peace declared them as married. So they were never married, and then later on they're living together. It's not l'shem kiddushin. If a man would have in mind l'shem kiddushin biya, then kiddushin biya would be chal. It would be kiddushin. But he does not mind l'shem kiddushin biya. He thinks he's married already. So that's why most felt that the get is only l'chumr. Chacham Ovadia is a Sfardi, was a Sfardi, passed away, ready? So the Sfardi never accepted this Chumra from the Rambam, this Tshuva Sarajbo. So he, when Ashkenazim got stuck, so they would all go to Chacham Ovadia, and he would say, you don't need a get. And he would say, even if they gave a get, the get is only L'chumra, and a get L'chumra doesn't ask L'chumra. I don't think that's right for Ashkenazim. You have to give an Ashkenazi psak. But that was his practice. The Gemara says a chalutza is not allowed to marry a kohen. That's only a din midrabban. Min haTorah, a grusha is asura l'kohen min haTorah, and a chalutza is only asura midrabbanan. Let's say a person is a ben chalutza. His mother was a chalutza. She married a kohen. So on the level of the raisa, he's a full-fledged kohen, and on the level of the rabbanan, he's a cholol. So what aliyah does he get in shul? He can't get kohen because midrabbanan he's a cholol. Can't get one of the other aliyahs till Shvi, because we have a chumra. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to call a kohen acha kohen. So we are machmen, not only a kohen acha kohen, you don't give a kohen any of the zayin kruim, unless you have a big shas atrak and oifru fa bar mitzvah, and everybody's kohanim. So then you give kohen acha kohen, mehepsik, you give kohen Lev Yisrael. Kohen Yisrael, you can alternate. But usually when Machmer, you don't give the Kohen any Aliyah and the Zayin Kruim. So the Kohen can only get the Ben Chalutza, can only get the Maftir, or get Oy Safa, if the Zayin Kruim are up. Yeah. Do you say Mimon of Shach Bidder Rabbanon? Let's say a Kohen marries a Grusha, so all the children will be Chalolim. So once a Kohen is a Chalol, Cholo means empty space, empty vacuum. He's emptied out. He has no Kedusha Skuna. Kohen marries a Grusha, so the son is permitted already to marry a Grusha. The son is allowed to go to the cemetery. The son is not a Cholo. Cholo means he's emptied out. He doesn't have Kedusha Skuna at all. Can't do any of the mitzvahs Kuhuna. So let's say a person, a Kohen marries a Chalutza, so the children are Chalolim mid the Rabbanim. But on the level of the Raisa, they're Kohanim, so they're not allowed to be Metamei L'Meisim, they're not allowed to marry a Grusha. Would you say that the Ben Chalutza is permitted to marry a Chalutza? Because Mimonov Shach, on the level of the Raisa, he's a full-fledged Kohen, so Kohen is permitted to marry a Chalutza. On the level of the Rabbanon, that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Chalutza, no, on the level of the Rabbanon, he's a Ben Chalutza, so he's a Cholol. So this is a Shaila that was discussed in the Chalkas Yoyav. Chalkas Yoyav was a Talmud Chavir of the Avnei Nezer, was also Chassidus Rebbe. Avnei Nezer was Chassidus Rebbe. So they are pushing for the idea that you don't say Mimon HaShach and the Rabban. You don't say, on the level of the Raisa, a Kohen, he is a full-fledged Kohen, a Kohen is allowed to marry a Chalutza. On the level of Rabban, he's not allowed to marry a Chalutza, he's not a Kohen. So you have no right to say this. So Avnei Nezer has this quite a few times. You don't say Mimon HaShach. You can have the halachic can recognize the tarte de sasim. Rav Soloveitchik picked this up for Avnei Nezer. It's a recurrent theme in Avnei Nezer. Rav Soloveitchik had it. Ben Ashmoshes. It's not that it's a self yom sofik laila. There's a ritva in Yuma that Ben Ashmoshes has properties of yom and properties of laila because it's a tarte de sasim. So he treated it as if it were a sofik, but it's not really a sofik. And you have sometimes something is anovim hom namely botze peris and mechuba lekarka, but it's fully grown already, so it's dinik et tolush, dinik et mechuba, it's a tate de sasri, treated as both. You have quite a few cases like that, that you treat something like a tate de sasri, treat it as if it were a sofik, even though it's not really a sofik, just that it has properties of both. So that's what they say over here. That if the Kohen married a chalutza and he has children, so the chalutza, the ben achalutza is a cholom midrabban on the level of the ice is a kohen. On the level of rabban is a cholom, so we treat him as both a cholol and a kohen. And you always, since it's a tag to the sasri, so you go lechumra. You always go lechumra. So he's not allowed. Ben chalutza is not even allowed to marry a chalutza. There's a gemara in Yevamos where the gemara points out based on a mishnah that chalutza is only midrabbanon, grusha is the ice, a chalutza is the rabbanon. So the Gemara says, what if the Kohen married a girl who's a Sofik Chalutza? Mishnah has a case like that. Kohen married a girl who's a Sofik Chalutza. So the Gemara says, but yeah, but if you married her already, then you say, Sveika de Rabbanon Lekula. Since the whole prohibition of Chalutza, the Kohen is only with Rabbanon, so you make. Lechatchila, we wouldn't permit the Kohen to marry a Sofik Chalutza. Marry someone else. True, Sofik de Rabbanon Lekula. But it's not right to be Mekel. But B'dievet, the Gemara says, Im nisus leiteitze. If the Kohen married a Sofik Chalutza, so B'dievet, they wouldn't have to get divorced. So some started a whole literature that in the beginning of the Baisheni period, the Psukim say in Nehemia, that the Gemara in the second parak in Ksubis quotes the Psukim, that the Kohen wanted to be makor karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, and they insisted you have to have a Ksav Yichas. And those bikshu ksavim hamasyachsim velomotzau, those who search for ksav yichas and weren't successful in getting it, negalu min hakuhuna. They were rejected from kuhuna. They didn't permit them to be makar karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. And many achrenim from centuries ago understood the Gemara to mean, the psukim in Nehemia to mean, that kohanim is manazeh asafik kohanim. Kohanim chazoke. And unless you're kohanim miyuchas, unless you have ksav yichas, so we treat you as a Sofik Kohen. So if a person is a Sofik Kohen, then it should be muta with Vada Chalutza. The Gemara says, if a person is a Kohen and he married a Sofik Chalutza, so b'dievet lo teitze, so what if the person is a Sofik Kohen? So a Sofik Kohen, same thing as a Sofik Chalutza. So a Sofik Kohen should be allowed to marry a Chalutza b'zman hazeh. The whole cheshbon is kakai, because the Gemara says the Kohen But the Eved, if the Kohen married a Safik Chalutza, Loi Teitze, he doesn't have to divorce, but L'Chatchila, we don't permit the Kohen to marry a Safik Chalutza. It's only the Eved. So even if one would say that Kohanim is Manazeh HaSafik Kohanim, and that's why Kohanim Chazok are not allowed to be Makor Karbonis and the Beis HaMikdash, we wouldn't permit them L'Chatchila to marry a Chalutza. We would say, in Nisus Loi Teitze, if he married a Chalutza, then you say Safik Darabon L'Kul, the Eved, but you wouldn't also L'Hachnas Zatmo. We wouldn't permit it. So that was assumed to be the case for many generations. One of the Achrenim, I think the Marashdam said like that. Marashdam was from Greece, from Salonika. He was one of the big poskim. So a few of the Gedolim in the 1500s, they thought Kohanim is Manazeh HaSafik Kohanim. This was assumed to be the case. Until Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher came along. Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher was a Talmud of Rebbe Kivega who lived in Germany. And Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher was a big Zionist. Tira Tzvi, Kibbutz Tira Tzvi, is named after Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher. Zdeleyo is named after Reb Eli Gutmacher, who was also a Talmud of Rebbe Kivega, also a big Zionist, as a religious Zionist. So Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher wrote the whole Sefer that's called Risha Sion. That was an open letter to Rothschild. That maybe he should put up the money to build the Beis HaMikdash, and then Mashiach will come. You don't have to wait for Mashiach to come. And he writes a whole explanation how he thinks that he solved all the problems. How could he be Makir Karbonis? Everybody's Tomei, and this and that, and you have to have Machzor Shekel, you have to have Trelis for the big Dekuna. So he wrote a whole Sefer Drishas, and he thought that he solved all the problems. Many wrote that he didn't solve all the problems. There's still many problems left. But one of the things that he did touch on is how can you be makor karbonis? The psukim say in the chemed that you need kohen meyuchas, kohen chazok, and not allowed to be makor karbonis. They came up with a chiddush that that's only a chumer mederabon. It's not that the kohen today is sofer kohen. There is a kohen gene, and they found out that the kohen gene is ois gehalt. Almost all the kohenim in the world have a much higher percentage of incidence of this kohen gene than everybody else. So the Kohanim today are about the Kohanim, but they're not considered Sofer Kohanim. It's a Chumrah with the Rabbanon that you don't permit Kohane Chazaka to be Makar Karbonis. So he suggested a Chiddush, and maybe the Chumrah was only introduced by the Chachamim, Hecha De'efsheh. If it's possible to be Makar Karbonis with enough Kohanim Yechosim, no good. But if Bizman is there, there's simply not enough Kohanim Yechosim to run the Beis HaMikdash, or build the Beis HaMikdash, we should permit Kohane Chazaka to be Makar Karbonis. So he was a Talmud of Rebbe Kivega, so he sent his whole Sefer, Risha Sion, sent it to Rebbe Kivega. Rebbe Kivega was the son-in-law of the Chassam Sofer. Rebbe Kivega was only a year older than the Chassam Sofer, and he died a year before the Chassam Sofer. Neither lived to a ripe old age, but that was the Chassam Sofer's second wife. First wife died, then the second wife died, and he had a third wife, Chassam Sofer. So the second wife of the Chassam Sofer was the daughter of Rebbe Kivega. And so Rebbe Kivega sent this kuntres of Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher to the Chassam Sofer, and they were both masking with him that it's only a chumer mederabanan that Kohanim Chazaka shouldn't be allowed to be makor karbanos. Kohanim today are vaday kohanim, and hecha de'efsher. And if it's impossible to run a Beis HaMikdash without using Kohanim Chazaka, we would permit the Chachamim never meant to introduce a chumer to make it impossible to be makor karbanos. So we would allow hakrabas karbanos bizmanas. That was the contribution of Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher. The Ma'aseh when the Kohanim duchen, they say bracha shegadashan b'kedushasu shal Aharon. So if it'll be a Sofik Kohanim, how do they say a Sofik bracha? How do we allow them to duchen? How do they do pidyon haben? They say bracha on pidyon haben also. So we assume the Kohanim are bar Kohanim. The whole thing is a big mistake. That it's assumed to be a mistake that the earlier gedolim, the Marashdam and some of the others after him, they will work on the assumption that Kohanim today are only Sofik Kohanim. We assume they're bar Kohanim. Yeah. So the Chumash has a din, a grusha is not permitted to marry a kohen. If the kohen marries a grusha and they have a child, so the child is called a cholol or a chalola. The cholol, all of his children will be chalolim. All of his children will be chalolim. A cholol is not just that he's not a kohen. If a cholol marries a woman, a kohenis is permitted to marry a cholol. Even though kohen is not permitted to marry a chalola, but lehuz rukshevos lin osi lipsulim. As Kohenis is permitted to marry a cholol, but nonetheless, if she marries a cholol, she becomes nivel ol apostle apsol. That's the pasuk in last week's sedra. Ubaskan kisili ishzar he betrumas hakadoshim lo soichal. So the pasuk pshat and pasuk is that a baskan achel is betruma. He even after the father dies, and even after she's no longer Bishusavia, she's already past the age of 12 and a half, and the father died, still a bas kohen is ochelas betruma. But what happens if the bas kohen marries a non-kohen? She marries a Levi or Israel. So that's the pashim shatan pasuk. A bas kohen kisil yizar, if she marries a man who is not a kohen, so we say ishte kegufoi, balki ishte, ishte kegufoi. So since she's married to a non-kohen, so we treat her as if she becomes a non-kohen. That's the pashim shatan pasuk. He betruma sakadoshim lo sechel. So the Gemara has, in addition to the pshutu shal mikra, the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. If a woman is nivala l'pasala, psala, she becomes psula, she becomes a zayna. So if a woman is nivala l'nochri, levit kanaini, l'mamzer, l'chola, l'nosin. A woman in Israel, this is a lot of marry a cholol. There's no avera at all. But if a woman, let's say, marries a cholol, a kohenis marries a cholol. It's beheta gomer. And then the husband dies. If the husband divorces her, she's a grusha. So of course she can't marry a kohen. But let's say the husband dies, she's an almana. So a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. But a kohen hayadid can marry an almana. The Haftarah, last week's Haftarah says, a kohen shouldn't marry an almana unless she was married to a kohen. Only almana's kohen. So that was a chumra mid the rabbanon. Where is it? Yirmiyah. Nobody has that. That was a chumra mid the rabbanon that they invented. There is no such din l'daris. An almana, even an almana of a lady or Yisrael, is permitted to marry a kohen. So let's say a kohenis or a girl was married to a cholol. The husband dies, so she's an almana. She's allowed to marry a kohen. So she would have been allowed to marry a kohen if he would have been a kosher. But if the husband was a cholol, even though there's no aver at all, nivlo l'posel l'psolo. And the Rambam points out what happens if the woman doesn't observe taras hamishpachas. So every time she's with the husband, she's in violation of an isa kareis. So he says, but there's no din of nivlo l'posel l'psolo. Nivala l'pasal is based on the pasuk baskan kisir li'ish zar. The ish zar has to have a shem psul. So if he's an akum, eved, cholol, mamzer, nasin, he has a shem psul. So then, even though it's mutter, the marriage is beheter, she becomes nivala l'pasal. So the Rambam says she becomes a zayna. And if she violates the laws of taras hamishpacha, and every time she's together with the husband, she's zor v'anisa kare, she doesn't become nivala l'pasal. So the Rambam writes, moral of the story is that it doesn't depend on how serious that era that she violated. Sometimes it's beheta gomer, she's nivala l'pasal psal, she's married a cholol, and sometimes she's over on an isa karis, a nida l'baila, she doesn't become a psula. It depends nivala l'pasal, whether the husband has a chala shem psul. That's how the Rambam learns. The nivala l'pasal psal, she becomes a zayna. Tosfos has in the Yevamos, Tosfos disagrees with part of the Rambam. They say if a woman was living with a cholol, how can you say she becomes a zayna? She didn't do anything wrong. It's hetter gomer lechatchila. So Tosfos says she becomes a cholola. Okay, but bottom line, she's not allowed to live with a kohen, not allowed to marry a kohen. If a woman was married the hetter to a cholol, and the cholol dies, it's a din. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. There used to be a fellow here in the neighborhood. He used to have funny Professor Levy. He used to have funny hechi timtza. So he said hechi timtza. How is it possible? Am I so shohaya? It was Hamaisa Shahaya. A girl was married to a man, and the husband gave a get, and she's allowed to marry a kohen. How can it be? The husband gave a get. The answer is she married a guy. They didn't realize she married a guy, and the get was not necessary. It's not even a bracha get, nothing but nothing. And since she's not a grusha, she's allowed to marry a kohen. So the yes, but it's not correct. It's nivala l'pasal psal. So that din he never heard of. Never heard of the din and nivala. That's the famous Gemara. If a woman was nivala to an achri, so she's nivala l'pasala. So she's become nasa zayna. So she's not allowed to marry a kohen. What else is considered a zayna? So there's a machlokes hatanoim. So one tana, Rav Lozer, is over there pina pana habal apnuya. Shelo l'shemishus hasho zayna. If a single boy has an affair with a single girl, they're both Jewish, and they weren't doing a l'shem kiddushin, so she becomes a zayna. So the way we have the girsa and the gemara, it says in Gemara Yevamos, we absolutely don't paskin like a Rebbe Lozer. Rabbi Yochanan Perla, who wrote the three fat volumes of the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadya Goyin, thinks that he has some goyinim who maybe didn't have that gears in the Gemara, but bottom line, that's how we paskin. That Pane Habal Apnun Shalod Shemishus Loy Asa Azayna. One Tana is of the opinion that, let's say, the girl has a different boyfriend every week. She sleeps with someone else every week. So one Tana is of the opinion, Zayna Kipshuta. Nivala, let's say, Panahabal of Pnuya once, So that's not called, we don't pass on like Rav Loza. We have the gears in the Gemara, Leis L'chosh L'chodei Rav Loza. We don't pass on like Rav Loza, that are so Zayna. But if every week she's Mizana with someone else, so one time is of the opinion, Zayna Kim Shuta. So the Rambam does not accept that opinion. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, only Nivelol Apostle of Psalm. The Bishmuel thinks that B'nai Torah should be Machmir, because there are a few Rishonim, he quotes the Smag and the Smak and the other Rishonim. There are some Rishonim that pass like the other Tanoim, that if a girl every week she sleeps with someone else, maybe that's also called a Zayna. That's the question, what if the girl is very discreet? One year she has one boyfriend consistently, one Jewish boyfriend. She only sleeps with him. Next year she has a different boyfriend. Next year a different boyfriend. Not for every week she has a different boyfriend. Every year she has a different boyfriend. So Shlomo Kluger thinks, in his Jewish Aleph L'chosh Shlomo, he thinks that maybe that's not considered the Chumre. If you want to be Machmer for those Rishonim that Beishmuel quoted, that Zayna Kipshutos, maybe that's not called Zayna Kipshutos. She was Miuchedes to the one boyfriend for a long time. Yeah, what else is included in Zayna? Anachris. That's how kind is Baal Anachris, or Giyoris. So Giyoris is also considered Zayna. And the Rambam says that you'll be loike. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He says, Giyoris has an Issa Zayna, but she's not actually a Zayna. So he says there wouldn't be Malkus. In order to get Malkus, not enough you violate an Issa that's included in the Pasuk. That's like a Lav Shebechlolos. This case is also included. No, you have to actually be Baal Zayna. So the Ravid is of the opinion that a Giyoris is not actually a Zayna. There's an Issa Zayna, but she's not a Zayna. So there wouldn't be Malkus. But it's still also, he agrees. The Gemara in Kiddushin, later in the Mesich, the Hazam Machlekes HaTanayim, what if a girl was in Zagara Pchusim Ibat Shal Lashana B'yayim Echot? So we know that she was never Nivalo Lenochri. Maybe if a girl was in Zagara after the age of Shal Lashana B'yayim Echot, before Bas Gimel Shana B'yayim Echot, ain't B'yasa B'ya. After Bas Gimel Shana B'yayim Echot, then is B'yasa B'ya. So maybe you declare Ebi Giyores, who was Mizgara at a later stage in life, as a Zayna, because there was a possibility that she was Nivala Lenochri. But if she was in Zgari before the age of three, she should be Muteris. So that's a Machlokes HaTanaim. We paskin that it's awesome. The simple reading of the Gemara is that they're arguing how to read the Psukim in the Chumash. A simple reading of the Gemara, that's a Machlokes on the level of the rice. A few Achrayim suggested that maybe the whole Chumra that we pass on la'alacha, that Nizgara Pchusim in Vashon Hashanah V'Yemechot is Asur L'Kayin, maybe the whole Gemara is only with the Rabbanah. So once you say it's only with the Rabbanah, and then they're working on the assumption that Kohanim is Manazer only Safik Kohanim, that not Vade Kohanim, the Safik the Rabbanah L'Kula, so maybe a Kohen is permitted, maybe a Kohen is Manazer should be permitted to marry a Gyorvish and Nizgara Pchusim in Vashon Hashanah V'Yemechot. So Rav Herzog has a tshuva about this. And Hechal Yitzchak, they have a collection of all the tshuvas of Rav Herzog. It's a shveri tshuva because we don't accept that opinion. We accept Rabbi Kevege with the Chassam Sofer. They agreed with Rabbi Tzvi Ishkalasha, the Kohanim is Manazeh Abadei Kohanim. We don't really accept the other opinion either, that if Nizgara Pchusim and Vashon Shonim Yamechod, it's only awesome with the Rabbanim. The simple reading of the Gemara is that it's an issue deraisa, it's not a din deRabbanim. So the Pashtus is that there really isn't any room to be mekel over there. Shvuya Lekoyen is a Chumra Midrabbanon, the Mishnah in Ksubis, in the second parak in Ksubis. If a woman was held captive by the Nochrim, so if they held her in prison because she didn't pay rent, she didn't pay her income tax, so they're not gonna be ma'anis her. But if she's held al iskei nefashos, then they can do whatever they want because they're gonna ultimately they plan to kill her. So even if somehow she survived, they paid ransom money and she survived. So then there's a chumra mirabbanan that shvuya asur lekayin because maybe she was nensa. So that's a shaila. What about all the women who are in concentration camps? The Nazis were killing everybody. So they could, if they want to, they could be ma'anis, they could be mezana ma'anis. Some of them had Jewish girlfriends. You know, for a fact, Hitler had a Jewish girlfriend. Many of the German Nazi, they wrote books about it. Many of them had their Jewish girlfriends. So that's the shaila. After the war, a woman comes, she says that she was, we know she was in a concentration camp. She has a number on her arm, if we don't know who she is. And she says, Nishbeisi Tohorani. So then the Mishnah says, Apeshasa Apeshihite. But we know that she's a shvuya. She has a number on her arm. Obviously, she was Nishbis. So then she's ain't in the menace to say Tohorani, unless someone else is going to testify. I know for a fact, I was there the whole time in the same bunk, and she was never Nensa by the guy. So this was shortly after the Second World War. It's interesting, Rav Moshe Feinstein has no tshuvas on this. I don't know what that means. It means that he held a chumra. Nobody asked him in the shayla. Nobody asked him in the shayla. I don't know. The tshuva was written by Rav Breisch from Switzerland, and he was Mekel. He says that since it was against the law, it was against the law of the Germans, they considered it like Mishka Behema. They considered the Jews like dogs. So it's sleeping with a dog. So Hitler was sleeping. Hitler had a Jewish girlfriend. Many of them had Jewish girlfriends. But since it was against the law, and you could use their, you could lose your job as a prison guard, you could lose your job as a general if they would catch you sleeping with a Jewish woman. So the whole Gzeira der Rabbanon of Shmuel HaKohen was never made in such a situation. Okay, that's what they were makel at that time. There was a case here in New Jersey in Teaneck that a boy fell in love with a Grusha HaKohen. He fell in love with a Grusha. He wanted to marry the Grusha. So one of the rabbis from one of the other seminaries in New York City decided that since the boy's grandmother was a went through the arm, she was in a concentration camp, so she's a shvuya. Shvuya asur the kohen, so therefore all the children, his father, the grandfather was a kohen. He wasn't allowed to marry the shvuya, and therefore the grandson is a cholol, so the cholol is allowed to marry a grusha. The whole thing is kakait. Even a ben chalutza is not allowed to marry a chalutza. Ben chalutza is certainly not allowed to marry a grusha. Shvuya is only asur the kohen midirabbanan. It's only a suvila kaim and rabbanon. It's not that she was really nivela to a guy. The woman says she was not nivela to a guy. So in our Torah, she's materis lekoin. The whole thing is a chumer mid rabbanon. So because of a chumer mid rabbanon, he declared that he's a cholo and he's allowed to marry a grusha. It's a joke. Make a joke out of the whole. And that seminary, they make a joke out of the whole Torah. So this is one of the many jokes that they have. There are two types of chalola. There's a chalola by birth and there's a chalola by bia. Chalola by birth is a kohen, married a grusha, so all of the children that he has, whether boys or girls, the boys are chalolim, and the girls are chalolos. Then let's say a woman is a grusha, and she lives with a kohen, so she had bia b'isa with a kohen, and isa kohuna, so she also becomes nischalola. She becomes, that's a chalola derech bia. To us it doesn't make a difference, the woman is a grusha of the kohen anyway, but in the time that they used to give malchus, the Gemara says, a whole sugya, the end of Kedushin, by Isa Chalalisa. How is it possible that the Kohen is Boal Ha'isha and he gets four times Malkus? He violated all the Isurim. He's a Kohen Gadol, and he violated, she's an Almana from one husband, she's a Grusha from another husband, and she's a Chalala, she's a Zayin, all four, but only in one order. It depends sometimes if it's out of order, it'll be an Isa Chalalisa. If it's in the correct order, then you can get four times Malkus. That's all sugya laid in Kedushin. Fascinating discussion about when you say Isa Chalalisa and when is Ein Isa Chalalisa. Let's say a person taka is a cholol. Usually when you write a ksuba, you write a get, you say ploni ben ploni hakoin, ploni ben ploni halevi. So the word hakoin at the end goes both on the father and on the son. Elozer ben Aharon Hakoin. So the word Hakoin doesn't only go on Aaron, it goes on Elozer also. You don't have to write, some had the practice to write Elozer Hakoin ben Aaron Hakoin. So we don't do like that. And some had the practice to write Elozer Hakoin ben Aharon. If the son is a Kohen, obviously the father is a Kohen. So we don't write like that. We write Elozer ben Aaron Hakoin, and the word Hakoin doesn't only go on the father, we assume it goes back on the son as well. What do you do in a case where the father was a Kohen, the father married a Grusha, and the son Taka is a Cholom? So how are you supposed to write in the Ksuba? So the quote from Rabbi Leza tells him, Rabbi Leza Gordon has a collection of tshuvas that are called, I forgot what it's called, tshuvas Rabbi Leza, I forgot already. Mishnas Rabbi Leza, Mishnas Rabbi Leza. Rabbi Leza tells him, has a tshuva, so he says, you write, Elozer ben Aharon behu kohen. Vehu Kohen is the pasuk by Malkit Sena Melech Shalom. Vehu Kohen lekel Yon. So the Gemara says, "Vehu Kohen veim beno Kohen." The word Vehu Kohen has the connotation: he alone is a Kohen, and his son is not a Kohen. That Malkit said it because Hikdim Birchas Eved lebirchas Kono. First, when Avraham Avinu waged war against the four kings who beat out the five kings when they had the war, and Aravinu won the war. So it says, and he said, Baruch Abram lekel Oyon, so first he said a bracha to Avraham Avinu, then he said a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara said that's not proper. If you're going to say a bracha to Ribbono Shel Olam, bracha to Abbas of Adam, you should first give the bracha to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You shouldn't first give the bracha to the Abbas of Adam. So because he did improperly, so that's why he lost, he himself was a Kohen, and he lost the Kohen, it didn't go over to his children. So Gemara understands that from the phrase, V'hu Kohen L'kel Yom, V'hu Kohen V'hem B'don Kohen. So that's why Blazer tells us that you should write Elazar ben Aaron v'hu Kohen. If you write Elazar ben Aaron ha-Kohen, means the both, the father and the son both. If you write v'hu Kohen, is only the father is a Kohen, the son is not a Kohen. Okay. Rare. It's a rare case you have like that. Yeah. A Gioris is not allowed to marry a Kohen, but a Gioris means that one time she wasn't Jewish and then she converted. Let's say a non-Jewish woman converts when she's pregnant with a baby, and then she has a girl. So is that called a giyores? Is that called, the Gemara says in Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches, Muberish and Nizgara Beno Enet Tzorach Tfilo. A pregnant woman who converts, so when she's tovel in the mikveh, the tefillah is only for her and for the baby as well. So there was a rabbinic figure here in the New York area who used to paskin that a woman who converted when she's pregnant, so the daughter is permitted to marry a kohen. That's against the din. It says Beferish in the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Shmuel quotes the Rambam. Rambam says even if B'dieved, she went ahead, she married a kohen, this she is considered a gioris. She is considered a gioris because when she was in the stage of an embryo, originally the first while of pregnancy, the fetus was not Jewish. Then later on, the mother converted, so it became Jewish. There's a pilpul, what if the mother converted in the first 40 days of pregnancy? So maybe since it's called Mayabi Alma, maybe there it wouldn't apply. But usually a mother is past the first 40 days in pregnancy when she's converting. So then there's the Beferish Adin, she's Asura Lekoin, and even if this is Tetzah, even if she marries a Koin, but the Evish has to get divorced. What if right? We don't accept that opinion. We paskin even less than 3 years old, Nizgar is Asur. One Tana held that Mutter. We don't paskin like that Tana. And we paskin, not only that, we paskin even if the mother converted before she was born, also the Vlad is Asur Lekoin. Yeah. What if a Ger marries a Gioris and they have a baby girl and the baby girl is Harosav Eleidosav Bigdusha? The mother became pregnant after she converted. The mother became pregnant from her husband, a Ger. So Mikra Din, the child is not a Gioris, but the Gemara says there's a Chumra Midirabbanan, that a Ger marries a Gioris, Alachatchila, the daughter should not marry a Kohen, but B'dieved im Nisus, Lo Teitzah, they don't have to get divorced.
If one of those two is not a Ger, like a Ben Yisrael marries a Gioris,
so then the daughter is permitted, Alachatchila, to marry a Kohen. Right, Ger and Gioris, even 10 generations later. If every Shidduch was a Ger with a Gioris, they only kept on marrying their own descendants and so on. A whole community, they're all Ger, and they all just marry each other. No one is really a Jew all the way back. So, Lechatchila, they shouldn't marry a Kohen, but B'dieved, Im Nisus Lo Teitze. The Pischei Tshuvin Eben Ezra quotes from the Avne Miluim, the Ktzais is safe on Ebenezer. A non-Jew wants to become Jewish, has to convert. What if there's a Jew who became a Meshubnit, a Jew converted to Christianity, then he wants to return back? So we paskin mikra din yisraelach al pishachot yisraelhu, that there's no need for gerus. But there's a Ovis the Rav Nosson, where it says that a Jew who became a Meshubnit, who wants to become back to join the Jewish people, has to undergo gerus. So this is a big machlokes, is that comment of those from Nosson, is that a real din d'oraisa, is that just a chumra midrabban? So the word goyim who are of the opinion that when a Jew converts to another religion, taki becomes a non-Jew, and the wife doesn't need a get. He's not considered Jewish anymore. We don't really accept that opinion at all. Al pi pashtus chacham avadya paskins like that. I don't know. That's very tamua. Let's say a man dies and he was married. He has no children. So his wife needs chalitz, and the only brother that he has converted to another religion, converted to Christianity. So the Ramos says if he has two brothers and one converted to another religion, one didn't, so we have to go l'chumre like the Shita Sagayim, treat the brother who converted as if he's not Jewish and he can't do the chalitz. But if he only has one brother and that one brother converted, so you're going to say she's allowed to marry without chalitz. So the Pashta says we don't say like that. Chacham Avadya writes, he paskens like that. But that's not the, I don't know if the Sfardim follow that either. We don't really all like that.
Doesn't the Ramos say
I don't think so. Got to take a look. Yeah.
Didn't the Ragachavar of Mishayla, I think the Ragachavar of Mishayla, one of his sons was a Meshuvah, and one of his sons was a Lash.
A man in Germany died, a Balabas died, yeah. The Ragachavar only had a daughter, and the daughter was married to a rabbi, yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. But the Ragachavar was involved with Mishayla, you're right. There was a man who died, he left two brothers, and the wife needed chalitza. So one brother was a communist. And the communist in Russia, he's a real communist, a real atheist, a real communist. Say they figured there's nothing to discuss. He's not going to do the chalitza. The other brother was a nice guy. He lived in Berlin, and he converted to Christianity in order to get ahead in the society then, in the early 1900s, in order to get a good job. So they figured he's a nice guy. He'll probably agree to do the chalitza. So the rabbanim were discussing whether he can do the chalitza or not. So they. In Germany, when they used to have, it was a little village in Germany. So in Germany, in Western Europe, when they used to have shaylas, a lot of the rabbanim would send the shaylas to the Sfirei Yesh. This was before the war. Sfirei Yesh is the sefer after everybody was killed in the crematoria. Then it's called Sfirei Yesh. But he was in Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin, so they used to ask him the complicated shaylas. So he wrote a whole tshuva explaining why you can't do that. That since the goyim were machmer, that the brother who converted to Christianity is considered a goy, and we're choishes l'chatchilu for the shitas agaynim, so we shouldn't permit him to do the chalitza. So the Ragachavar happened to be in Germany for medical treatment. He went a few times for medical care. And the Rav, who had the shayla, happened to bump into him, and he asked him the shayla. So he said, what's the shayla? Let the Meshumah do the chalitza. Well, what's the issue? So he said that Weinberg said not so. He said, never heard of Weinberg from the Hildesheim. He said, what's Hakta Chayni? What are you talking about? Just let the Meshumah do the chalitz. So the Rabbi Weinberg, the one who wrote this Sfirei, was taken aback. That he said, what did he dig up achrayim from under the earth to be machmer on the woman? He says, what did he dig up? It's a Ramah in the Shuvah Sagayim. Some said it just he put together what it says on the page. But that's it. The Ragachavar didn't hold from the Ramah, didn't hold from the Chassam Sofer, he didn't hold from all these achrayim. He just held from the Shulchan, the Rambam, the Gemara, the Rambam, and Shaina, and the Taisus. He didn't hold from all of these. So Weinberg said, look, if it's going to be a fight, me and the Ragachavar, I'm not going to take on the Ragachavar. So he corresponded with other Rabbanim, and they all agreed with him. They all agreed with Weinberg. So he said, we can follow the Ragachavar. So the end of the story was that one of the Rabbanim in Berlin bumped into the Meshumah again, and he said, you know, the rabbis are corresponding. Until then, they didn't speak to the Meshumah. Then they told them in Berlin that the rabbis have a whole correspondence whether they should have you do the chalitza. So he got taken aback. So he said, nothing to discuss. I'm not Jewish. Don't ask me to do it. I'm not going to do any chalitza. Nothing to discuss. That was the end of the shayla. There's nothing to pilpul about. He said, he's not going to do. But the Ragachavar, when they told the Ragachavar what happened, so he took it as a simim in Hashemayim that he was wrong, that Weinberg was right, that al pi din, it's not correct. That's the story. Yeah, that's written up in the Tshuvas of the Sfirei Yesh.
That means that if both brothers aren't willing to do it, then what happens to the sister? She's just can't get married.
If both brothers
won't do it, and the sister. So the sister-in-law.
Yeah.
What does she do? She just can't get married.
No, we would have the communists. The communists will do the chalitz. If it's a tosa,
let's say nobody will do it.
No one does a chalitz. She's absolutely nasi la. So you have to get a hitman to kill the two brothers. Okay. Someone has to bump them off. What can you do? You bribe them? Give them money? If they're principled, they won't accept the bribe. Yeah.
Ramah says
I don't know. You have to look in the case, but we don't accept Chacham Avadya's psak. Absolutely do not accept. Yeah. If a woman was nivala, she doesn't know who was Boaleha. So the Mishnah says that she may be nivala lepasala. So she's not allowed to marry a kohen. What if you have a rove? The likelihood is that she's nivala by Yisrael. So there's a chumer midrabanan, my loss of Yuchsin, that we don't even allow a rove. You have to have a trei rubi. That's a chumer midrabanan. You have to have two roves. So let's say this happens by Simchayim. A Jewish girl is in a park in Yerushalayim and she's raped. She doesn't know whether it was an Arab or a Jew. She doesn't know who raped her. So if the rove of the people in Yerushalayim are Jewish, and the rove of the tourists are Jewish also, it's not always the case. A lot of times the rove of the tourists are not Jewish. But if you have Trey Ruby, the rove of the people in Yerushalayim, you have to ask the police. It could be that there's a rove of people who rape women are not Jewish. If the rove of people who rape women are not Jewish, then that wins out. It doesn't help that you have so many Jewish people in Yerushalayim with long beards sitting and learning in Kollelim if they're not included in the Sofik. But if you don't know what the rove is about the raping women, just know rove of the people, the rove of the men in Yerushalayim are Jewish, and rove of the tourists who visit are Jewish, and then we assume that she was nivala Israel and she's Mataris Lekoim. What if a girl, let's say, has a father who is not Jewish and a mother who is Jewish? So that's not, she was always Jewish? So that's a suffix in the Gemara. Akamal Bo'al Bas Yisrael, whether the daughter is Asur Lakuna or not, that's an Ibaidah Leibshita. It's a question whether that is suffix deraisa, a suffix derabanan. So Ashkenazim Paskin Lechumra and Sfaradim Paskin Lakula on that. If the father, that comes up, unfortunately, every so often, that the father is not Jewish and the mother is Jewish. So the daughter is not a Gerovis at all. The daughter was Jewish all along, but her father is not Jewish. So Ashkenazim Amachmer on that. And she's not allowed to marry a kohen. Even though the Vlad is kosher, but still pas psula l'kahuna. So the Ravid and his commentary on the Rif and his Hasogas on the Rif and the end of Yivam's Daf Kuf, the Ravid says, like there's a Gemara there on Daf Kuf, that if there are 10 kohanim and one of them is Boal Ha'isha, and you don't know who the father of the, and she has a baby. You don't know who the father of the baby is, but you know whoever he is, he's a kohen. He's one of these 10 men, and all 10 are kohanim. So the Gemara says that he's not allowed to be makom karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, if it's a boy, because he's not zara miyuchas achrov. So the Ravid says, over here, the girl doesn't have a father, since she's lacking a yichas, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. Interesting. Not allowed to marry a kohen. Yeah, we have a psukim in the Chumash, that Amoni Mayavi, Mitzri, Adoimi, are not allowed to marry Jewish people. They can only marry Gerim, but the Mishnayos say that Bizman is a boss on Cheret Bilbil is called Olam Kuloi. So we don't know who's an Amoni Mayavi, who's a Mitzri, Adoimi. So all those dinim do not apply. There is a din that still does apply. If a person is a Tzuadaka, a Krushavcha, he has an injury to the Aver Zachrus, which prevents him from giving birth, he can't have any children. So he's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. He's allowed to marry a Gioris, but he can't marry a Jewish girl. What's the definition of Tzuadako? So the Poskim have an expression. This is Mehilchas HaRoifim. If the doctors say, in the Shulchan Aruch they have, is he missing the Beitz HaYimonis, missing the Beitz HaSmolis, a lot of things. But the doctors, it all depends what the doctors say. The doctor says, Roi La'ilet, it can populate the whole world. So then the din is that it's not called the Tzuadako Krushovcham. Yeah, sometimes a woman has a total hysterectomy and she can't have any children. So they say the husband has to divorce his wife. She's asura or he's not allowed to live with his wife. Let's say a man became a tzuadaka after marriage. A man became a tzuadaka. There was a famous case in Eretz Yisrael about that. That the man became a tzuadaka in 1948 in Mohammed HaShechrur. So from that time on, he didn't live with his wife. And then when the wife died, so he married a geiris. He used to be a dancer in a nightclub in her former life. When she was not Jewish, she used to be a dancer. So she married this frumma guy from Meir Sharms. Everybody was tumma. How did he marry this Gioris? How did everybody marry Gioris for? And they were writing all over all the newspapers. In America, they were writing about negotiation newspapers. He finally had to explain. He became a tzuadaka, and he wanted to get married. And in 1948, he became a tzuadaka, and he was never with his wife afterwards. So there's a Sivsei Chachamim in his commentary on Rashi, Al-Ator, Sivsei Chachamim says a Tzuadaka is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl if he's a Tzuadaka before he gets married. But if he already got married, then he's allowed to remain with her and live with her even if he's no longer Roy Lohoylet. So the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva, he quotes this Sivsei Chachamim. I never look in the Sivsei Chachamim. He quotes Sivsei Chachamim and says it's dead wrong. It's against an often a Mishnah Yivamos. It's not correct. It's awesome. So one of the Achrayim held is we use the Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam for all the Mar Mekaymus. So someone else, Rabbi David Aramoah, also wrote Mar Mekaymus on the Rambam. He doesn't have everything he has. The Kesef Mishnah has 10 times as much and much better. So this Rabbi David Aramoah, every so often, Rabbi Kivegin quotes him or somebody else quotes him. So the Nezer HaKadosh, he used to be a rabbi who used to live here in Bronzeville. So he has tshuvas. He was the Rav of the village, but the Chazanish lived in Europe. After he got married, he lived in his village. Stoipza, I think. I forgot the name of the village. So he has a tshuva where he quotes this Rabbi David Aramoah in his commentary on the Rambam, who says that just like by a Zohar, if he has damage done to the Eva Zohar and is not Re'el HaHoylid, some of the Rabbanon Tzatzaj Din by an Ikeva also. If a woman has a total hysterectomy, she's not Re'el HaHoylid, so she's not allowed to have Tashmish with her husband. So he says, we don't pass like that. It's not wrong. It's not correct. He made up a new thing from thin air. It's not correct. This din of Tzodaka Khrushchev has not like him. It's only if it's Bidei Odom. If he was born like that, if a person was born missing Beitzim, something incomplete, or he had a sickness, Min HaShemayim, he didn't do it to himself. He had some kind of a sickness, and the only way to treat the sickness is by doing surgery. So the Raman Paskin, that's also called Bidei Shemayim. So if he's a Soris Sri Schama, from the day he was born, from the day he saw the sun shine, he was already a Soris by birth, so that Soris B'dei Shemayim is mutter to marry. He won't be able to have any children, but he's mutter to marry. It's only Soris B'dei Adam, and even if it's B'dei Adam, but we make her like the Ramam. If it was done, if they did surgery because it was necessary for refuah, he had no choice, and then also the doesn't have the Yisra of Tzodaku Krushovcha, and he's allowed to get married. Mm-hmm. Good kasha. Why shouldn't the Sifsa Chachamim be right? You should say Hol Vishtarya. That's a good kasha. The Gemara makes a distinction. The Gemara raises it. The Gemara says it makes a difference whether a change occurred in him or in her. So what does it mean? I don't know. So you got to break your head to understand. The Gemara gives an answer to the question. If something changes in her, then we say Hol Vishtarya. But if something changed in him, then you don't say Hol Vishtarya. Why? What's the difference? I don't know. You got to figure out. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein had a fantastic kula that a lot of people rely on today. If a person only knows that he's a kohen, he heard from his father, from his uncle, and they were never observant. They never kept mitzvahs. They never kept. They never duchen. They never got the first aliyah. They never went to shul. Rabbi Moshe says that the person who told them doesn't have the manas to say that he's a kohen. It's a Mishnah Mcharis, Achashar al Adav al Adon al Me'idah. Since the source of information is the uncle or the father who never observed mitzvahs, so the person is not considered a kohen. So sometimes you have situations like that. Let's say a boy knows that his grandfather was a kohen, but knows his grandfather married a grusha. So he's a cholol. The grandfather married a grusha, his father's a cholol, he's a cholol. So he's a cholol. If he marries a girl, he has to tell a girl in advance. He's considered a chol. The girl, even if the girl is a bas kohen, she's allowed to marry a chol, but she should know that in case he's going to die young and she'll be an almana, she won't be able to marry a kohen because she was nivela to a chol. He has to say that in advance. So the shaila is, but if the whole source of information was his father or his uncle and they were never observant, they never kept any mitzvahs at all. So Rav Moshe was of the opinion that that they're not nemanim, and he's not considered a kohen, he's not considered a cholo, and he doesn't have to worry about it.
Don't you have a concept of kimli begave, meaning if I trust the person so much, we're that close, then they do nemanim?
Rav Moshe has tshuvas about kimli begave also. Yeah, the problem is in America, a lot of times, when a couple is getting divorced, so the rabbis decided to get this, are you a choice? Are you kohen Levi Yisrael? They don't even know what it means, but if it's a choice, so he says, Levi, kohen. there was just a conference of Rabbanim last week. I had to give a shiur early one day because I had to go to a conference of Rabbanim who are Masadri Gittin. So one of the rabbis says, he takes care of all the Gittin, the whole area in the United States. So he says when the couple calls on the phone, they want to get a get. So he asks them over the phone, all the names, husband's name and the wife's name and the father's name, all the nicknames and everything. Then when they come in person 2 months later to do the get, it rarely corresponds. Rarely. He says 95% of the time what they tell him when they're holding by the get and what they told him on the phone doesn't correspond. So one of the issues, so he was asking, how do you take care of this? One of the issues is a lot of American Jews don't know what it means, Kohen Levi. So you give them a choice, so they pick one of the boxes and say, Kohen. They don't know what they're talking about, they're not a Kohen. So a lot of times, like someone was telling me, Rabbi David Kohen, I was sitting next to David Kohen yesterday at a wedding. So he said, Rabbi Yanke Kamenetsky came to America, he was in Seattle, so there was a Pinyon HaBen. So he attended the Pinyon HaBen. So they say, the Kri Hashem, Zikorish Ma B'Yisrael, Ploini Ben Ploini HaLevi. So he said, HaLevi? He walks over to the man, he says in his Yiddish, HaLevi doesn't have Pinyon HaBen. So the father of the baby says, Rabbi, don't tell me, I have experience. This is my fifth child that I'm doing Pinyon HaBen already. Don't tell me, I know better than you. Fifth child, I had one wife. Fifth child that is doing Pinyon HaBen on. So the people in America don't know, they don't have a coin, Levi Yisrael. So that's a problem. So that's what Moshe said, the person had done it. Okay, very good. Tomorrow, I think the topic is Hilcha Soita. And I have to give this year early. What time? 10 o'clock, 10 to 11, because I have to go out of town. So,
if a regular Bas Yisrael has married to a Chalal,
even though it's the head to go, there was nothing wrong.
Bain Bas Cohen Lee.
Maybe we'll set it up now.
Bain Bas Yisrael.
Right.
Did you send that, the recording out to everyone?
I uploaded it and I sent it.
Oh, you sent it to
me. Thank you so much for sending it.
I don't know, that's what I did.